Patrick is a doctoral student in sociology at Brown University. He focuses on health and neighborhood change in the urban environment. Prior to attending Brown, he received his his master's in public health and global epidemiology from Emory University, Rollins School of Public Health. Outside of academia, his work is focused on health, governance, and public spending in urban slums in Pune and Delhi, India.
Thank you. Let me see if I can get this up. There we go. Today I'll be talking about public housing demolitions, neighborhood change, and health in the case of Chicago in the 1990s. Disclosure statement, I have no relationships to disclose. The outline, I'm going to talk about the background and motivation for this research and what are the really research questions that are driving this. I'll then go into the methods, the results, and discussions and next steps. The motivation is in the beginning of the 1990s, the National Commission on Severely Distressed Public Housing estimated there were 86,000 households in public housing that were facing distress, high rates of serious crime, barriers to managing the environment, and or physical deterioration of the building. In response to this and a number of other pressures, HUD enacted the HOPE 6 program, the Housing Opportunities for People Everywhere program, to renovate public housing and individual cities' public housing authorities also undertook a number of initiatives to remediate the issues that were talked about above, including demolition, redevelopment, renovation of these public housing projects, and these were improvements, especially for both the residents of the public housing projects and the neighborhoods surrounding them. To speak a little bit more about Chicago, it's in the early 1990s was the third largest public housing authority in the country, with over 39,000 units in 1994. At the beginning of 1995, the federal HUD, there was a federal takeover of Chicago Housing Authority by HUD because of mismanagement, misallocation of funds, and deteriorating relationships between tenants and the housing authority. Over the next 7 years, from the beginning of this takeover until about 2002, which maps nicely into the data that I'm going to talk to you about in a minute, about 22,000 units were demolished in Chicago. That represented about 24% of the units that existed in 1994, and by 2011, fully 56% of the units that existed in 1994 had been demolished. These were replaced with a mix of public housing, mixed income housing, and private redevelopments. So the research questions that I'm going to address are primarily, what is the health impact of public housing demolitions on the neighborhoods surrounding the public housing? So I'm not as much interested as in the moving to opportunity studies about what happens to people when they leave public housing, but more interested in what happens to the neighborhood around the public housing once it's been demolished, and what happens to especially the individuals living there. Second, what characteristics in the social environment specifically mediate these potential differences in expected health outcomes? And are there observed differences, are they similar for stayers, those that have stayed in the area, and movers, those that have moved out of the area in the wake of public housing demolitions? Previous research would suggest that there might be two possible outcomes. Both the neighborhood composition and social capital theories actually kind of posit that there would be outcomes in opposite directions. Neighborhood composition theories specifically hypothesized that there would be reductions in violence and increases in economic and ethnic diversity in the wake of demolition would then lead to positive health outcomes for those living in the neighborhood. On the other hand, social capital theories would think that disruptions in the social networks and social order could potentially lead to worsening health outcomes for those living in the neighborhood. The data that I'm using today comes from the Project on Human Development in Chicago Neighborhoods, the PHDCN survey. It was a longitudinal survey of 6,000 plus children aged 0 to 18 in 83 neighborhoods in Chicago. Neighborhoods were defined as clusters, they're actually called neighborhood clusters in this study, as clusters of contiguous, relatively homogeneous census tracts. So basically we can kind of think of these as the person's neighborhood that they live in. These children were surveyed at three waves from late 1994 to early 2002. My data on public housing demolitions comes from the Chicago Housing Authority, from a Freedom of Information Act request to them. About 9,450 units were demolished between 1995 and early 2002, so during this PHDCN study. And individual buildings, I geocoded them by address and located them within these neighborhood clusters. My sample is actually further reduced from the original PHDCN sample for a few reasons. First, for consistency of effect, I've reduced it to the children who were between 6 and 15 at the first wave of the study. That means over the course of about 4 to 5 years that they were in the study, they were pretty much all living at home but attending school in the neighborhood. If they were younger, they might not have been attending school, and if they were older, they graduated and moved away pretty much immediately after the first wave. I also restricted at different points to only stairs, and so only people who have stayed within the area. And then I relaxed that a little bit to compare between movers and stayers. On top of that, because of data availability limitations with some of the questions on social capital that I'm going to get to, I actually only have data from waves 1 and 3. There's that question, that set of questions was not asked during wave 2. So the measures that I'm going to talk about, the outcome is self-rated health. It's on a 5-point scale from 1 being poor health and 5 being excellent health. This has been validated in a number of studies as a good predictor of morbidity and mortality among both adults and children. My exposure is a dichotomous variable relating to demolition of public housing during your residence, if there is any public housing demolished within your neighborhood cluster or within an adjacent neighborhood cluster in which you're living. And the mediators for the neighborhood composition theories, I'm expecting exposure to violence, the percent white, and the percent below the poverty line within your neighborhood cluster and adjacent neighborhood clusters to be the kind of predictors that would mediate changes in health if neighborhood composition theories are correct. For social capital, I'm looking at help from anyone and anyone who is not family. So anyone being including family and then also non-family, therefore neighbors within your neighborhood. Other things that I'm controlling for are age, wave of the study, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic index at baseline of the main household wage earner, exposure to violence at baseline, neighborhood conditions at baseline, so exposure to percent white and percent below the poverty line, and exposure to existing public housing projects at baseline. Were there any public housing projects within one neighborhood cluster adjacency to you at the first wave of the study? Looking at demolitions in Chicago, everything to the left of the dotted line is actually within my study. So you can see that there's an increasing trend of demolition over time. The map to the right shows where all public housing demolitions happened between 1995 and 2011 in Chicago. This is just a map showing where my exposure variable within the study would be coded as 1. So the red areas they would have been exposed if they were living in those neighborhood clusters, and the white areas they would be considered unexposed. This is approximately the first wave of the study. Here's the second wave. And here's the third wave. So we see it's increasing from just the near west side and the near south side to most of central Chicago. Analytic strategy. I have a series of nested models. First, my baseline model is just my exposure variable, E, with a vector of controls, the age, age, race, sex, all of those things that I talked about. My neighborhood composition model includes, on top of the exposure and controls, a vector of the neighborhood variables. Social capital model adds to the baseline model again with the social capital variables, and then my full model has everything in it. At the next step, I'm then going to add in interactions so I can look at differences between movers and stayers with adding in a dichotomous variable for if you're a stayer and then an interaction between that variable and the exposure variable. For the stairs-only models, where I'm only looking at people who are actually staying in the neighborhood clusters over this entire time, we do find a consistent effect, negative effect, on health of exposure to public housing demolition. However, this is not actually mediated by any of the variables that the theories that I presented earlier would actually expect. So it's consistent no matter what I control for. It's about negative 0.1. At the same time, though, I do see a positive and significant effect from social capital. So those who have help available to them are expected to, you know, have improved health, as the social capital theory would expect. In my interaction model, it's kind of a funny graph, but basically we see that for the thick lines, which are my stairs, there's a consistent negative effect. It's significant. For my movers, the thinner lines, it's also negative, and it's about negative 0.18 for all of the models, no matter what I'm controlling for. Again, and it really doesn't matter. Again, what I control for, it's always going to be, you know, slightly worse off than the movers. Implications here are, for question one, to answer question one, those who are exposed to public housing demolition do show significantly worse health than those who are not exposed. This, however, is not mediated by any of the variables that we would expect to see it mediated by, either neighborhood conditions or social capital available to the individual. However, we do see differences between movers and stayers, with those who are moving away from public housing demolitions actually experiencing somewhat worse health than those who have stayed in the neighborhood. Limitations: the level of the study, these sociological theories kind of are predicted at the ecological level, though I'm looking across at the neighborhood level and the individual level. So I'm somewhat mixing the levels. So it would be ideal if I was able to aggregate health at the neighborhood level, but because of the sample size, I'm not able to. The measure of these concepts, especially social capital, is kind of fuzzy. Social capital has a number of aspects, including civic participation, collective efficacy, other things that I would like to be measuring, but they're only available at different parts during the survey, so I'm not at the moment including them. And there's also sample size consideration. So you saw the confidence intervals for the movers in that movers and stayers plot, they were much wider. That's only because I had about 600 people who moved away from where they were originally living and stayed in the sample, so that I didn't have much comparison to make with that. Next steps, I'd like to investigate a little bit more the mechanism of action, though I'm kind of open to theories that might be explaining the changes I'm seeing. I'm going to include additional measures of health, including rates of hospitalization and doctor's visits and number of days of poor health for the individuals in the past month. I'd also like to incorporate more facets of social capital, including collective efficacy and civic engagement, but those only exist in certain, in very specific subsets of the sample, so I'm not able to. There's not as much that I'm able to do with it. And then do additional robustness checks, especially around the spatial and temporal autocorrelation. So that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.